Today on Real Radio.
There's a big difference from having belief and having faith. They never allowed their belief to take them into faith. Okay? Belief is almost everybody in the world believes in Jesus. What do you mean you believe in Jesus?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series on parables. One of the most well-known and commonly cited parables is the parable of the sower. Now, if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, I'm sure you've heard this one. Many of us have encountered those professing believers who eventually fall by the wayside or wither on the vine, whatever illustration you'd like. But the point is that not all who say they follow Christ will endure to the end. It's a hard truth that Pastor Jack Hibbs addresses right now in a lesson called The Parable of the Sower.
Jesus says, "My kingdom's not of this world." How cool is that? Jesus says, "I want you to go to the ends of the earth and preach life to people. Forgiveness, salvation, love, grace, and mercy. And those who hate you," Jesus said, "love them." You want to upset somebody who hates you? Love them. When you can't handle that, you just cut their head off. When you don't know what to do with yourself because you're out of control, just start cutting. What kind of insane thing is that? Anybody can do that. Jesus says, no, love. Love them. And so, we come to verse 4. The parable of the sower, number 2, is the placement of the seed. What it falls into is all important. So you want to ask yourself, has the Lord reached me with salvation? Is he speaking to you about salvation? If he has and you're a Christian now, that's awesome. He's going to speak to us in a moment about this. But for all of us, believer and non-believer alike, listen to this number 2 issue about placement. To what is the seed falling into? Verse 4, the first illustrative warning Jesus gives. Verse 4, and as he sowed some seed. Some seed is implied. It doesn't say it in Matthew's gospel. The other gospels read it this way. Some seed. Not all the seed, some of the seed fell by the wayside. Do you remember a moment ago what the way is? Then there's the wayside. The dirt, watch this, the dirt that's not the exact path, okay? The roadway, it's not that, and it's not the fields. It's the ground, and you know what? When you go down the freeway, you have the freeway, and then you have the what used to be beautiful in our state, now it's where you throw tires and refrigerators and stuff. Right? When you go down a road, if you have a train going down a track, you've got the track, and you've got the gravel, and then you have the open fields. Are you with me? That area of what we would say is the gravel or the part that Caltrans needs to clean up, that spot, that would be the wayside. It's not the roadway, and it's not the field. It's in between. It's like no man's land. Transition area. Jesus says some seed fell there and the birds came and devoured them. Bible students, circle the word birds. Whenever the Bible says birds, it is never good, ever. From Genesis to Revelation, it's never good. When the Bible says, in what's called that expositional constancy, where the interpretation is always true throughout the entire scripture, whenever it mentions birds, generically, you got bad news coming. You want to know why? Because when God speaks of something specifically, either in a blessing or in a judgment, for example, he says that I'm going to summon and gather all the birds together and they're going to eat the flesh of dead men, captains, horses, and all those who have fallen in battle. But then Jesus turns and says, consider the sparrows. See how he speaks specifically? When he names a bird in the context, there's a reason. When he says birds, generically, not good. Birds are never good generically. Now, I love birds. The reason why I love birds is because I know birds. I like them. I study them. I think they're amazing. But listen, if you're outside reading a newspaper at the park and a flock of birds flies over, you're going to say, I have to leave now. But if a parrot flies up and lands on your shoulder, we had a parrot fly in the courtyard and land on the fence over here. That's cool. Big difference. Do you get that? Expositional constancy. Birds are not good. You say, well, Pastor, I don't believe you. That's okay. I expected that. Just hang on. Some seed, the placement, the word, as we'll see in a moment, is the seed. The placement is in the heart of man. The seed is cast by the sower. The preacher delivers the word, no matter who that may be. The sower casts or broadcasts the seed generously, as I mentioned, consistently. Some will fall even so liberally along the wayside. Matthew 13, 18, check it out. Matthew 13, 18, therefore Jesus said, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, a Bible message, somebody witnesses to them using truly using scripture, and does not understand it, you say, yeah, why does that happen? You might say, I witnessed to that guy, I was so good, I just did everything right, I just laid it down, I could even feel God using me in the moment. Look what Jesus said. You can do all that, but if somebody doesn't understand it, it's really because the wicked one has come and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. The ground cannot receive the seed enough. It's laying on top of the ground. The seed is there on top of the ground. And the Bible tells us that birds come and snatch it up immediately, just waiting. Which, by the way, is the reason why you put tin foil on your fruit trees around here, or a farmer might put a scarecrow out there. Why? Because the birds are waiting for the back to be turned or for the sower to keep going by. You have seen tractors pulling their blades through the fields, and what do you see behind the plow? Birds. It's amazing. What are they doing? The ground turns things over, or the tractor is spreading out seed and the birds try to steal it. Jesus is saying, that's right. When somebody doesn't understand the gospel, it's not your inability. It's not that the gospel doesn't have power. Their heart is not open. It lands on the wayside, and immediately, before they even have a chance to really start to chew on it, the Bible says, and we'll know in a moment about this, demonic powers come and snatch the word away. This is serious stuff. Listen to this. In Jeremiah 29:13, the Bible says, God says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. When the seed falls upon the heart of somebody who is, well, I don't know, you know, I'm just not interested. I've got my world, I got my life, I got my stuff, I got my plan, I'm not interested in that. They don't get it. They don't understand it. You tell them about Christmas and they go, I don't care. You tell them about the meaning of Easter. I don't care. What's happening to them? The Bible says there's demonic forces that are snatching the word right out of their presence. And yet if their heart is open, if they want to seek after God, God will reveal himself to them. Jesus interprets the parable. Look at Matthew 13:19. Anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then look at this. Then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. Do you see how the Bible's interpreting the Bible? Isn't it awesome? Now you know that the birds are evil. Jesus even says the wicked one is being revealed in the picture being painted by the birds. Wow. Now I get that. Satan comes. Jesus is saying Satan and his workers try to keep you from hearing the word of God. Think of that. You ever go to church and you're excited? And look, this happens to all of us, even Christians. He's still, in fact, I should address this. Non-Christians, he's trying to steal the word away from constantly. Then once you become a Christian, he's trying to steal the word away from you constantly. Why? Because now that he lost your soul, he's lost you forever. See, why doesn't he just give up then and leave me alone? Because you now, though he's lost you, you are a great threat to the kingdom of hell. Because God wants to use you to rescue your husband or your wife or your mom or dad or your kids or your neighbors. And Satan, he may have lost you, but he is not going to let you succeed because you could be used by God to win others to Christ. That's why your witness is always under threat. He's terrified of you and he hates you profusely. Smile, God loves you. True. Hang on to your seats because Satan hates you. Think of that. I pray, we pray all the time. Pastors, we pray this all the time. And we use this kind of thinking that when demonic forces might go by, let's say they drive down the street and they're, you know, like those cockroaches in the commercial. They drive down the street. I want them to be afraid of this church. So listen, can this particular heart be saved? I don't know how to answer that. I know that it needs to be broken up, though. The ground needs to be tilled. The ground needs to be broken up. Can this person who has this heart be saved? I honestly do not know. But I know this, that if the ground is going to be broken up and able to receive seed, then this is what's got to happen. To have it broken up, there'll be health issues. There'll be death crises. There'll be difficulties. There'll be financial problems. There'll be spiritual crises. For a heart to be broken up to receive the word of God, if there's any hope for this heart right here, somehow that ground's going to have to be torn up to receive the word of God. Are you with me? Yeah. And that's why many times you will see people whose lives are going through the ringer. They get knocked down. Their life is, it's like, what in the world's going on? And then they become a Christian. Amen. God, in his infinite mercy, will only put a person through to the point of them saying yes. He will never, never go one inch or one moment longer or further. That's how ground is broken up of the heart. When I say ground, I mean the heart. The soil is the heart. The seed is the word. The sower is Jesus. The field is the world. Number three, the parable of the sower, verses 5-6, consider the reception. The reception of the word. Look at the second illustrative warning. Matthew 13, 5-6. Some seed fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. Notice, it's not any earth, it's much, not deep. And they immediately sprang up. So the seed is growing in this picture because they had no depth of earth, but when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Jesus now is talking about another heart. This is a different kind of heart. This is a different kind of person who hears the word. Watch this. It's in stony places. In Israel, the fields are like this. If it's on flat land and Boaz owns this field and Jochebed owns this field, the difference between who owns the fields is delineated by rocks or stones. For those of you who have been with us to Israel, you have seen shepherds' pens in the middle of the wilderness. We could be in the middle of the desert, we can be on Mount Carmel, or we could be on the Jericho Road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and what do you see? You see stones built up either as demarcation lines of property or sheepfolds. Stones. When it rains in Israel, stones grow. It's amazing. Stones everywhere. And when you have a field, you've got stones separating the two fields, okay? Sometimes, as I said, on flat land, sometimes it's land elevated. This field is like this way because it's on a slope. There's rocks and stones, and then there's the next. And here's the thing. There'll be earth that will cover much of those stones, but not much earth. And when the seed lands on it, because the sower is throwing the word of God out liberally to everybody or to all areas of the field, some of it lands on this kind of dirt. And it looks good to your eyes and my eyes. Oh, look. Here's the amazing thing. When the rain falls, the dirt that is there stays very wet. You would think Are you guys with me? You would think, oh, this is going to be fantastic. The ground is wet. It's nice and moist. Watch what happens. And it's true. The seed hits, but it's only about 3 inches deep, the soil. And it's wet. And it begins to grow quickly in that warm environment. It's nice and wet, though, where the roots are at. And the roots take off. And a sprout begins to grow. And then when the heat becomes to be intense, you think you've got this amazing crop going on, and then, oh my goodness, you come out to the field in the afternoon, and it's all wilted over, and it's fallen down. Why? Because there's no depth to what was going on. Jesus is saying there's a lot of hearts like that. Think of that for a moment. In Luke chapter 8, verse 13, Jesus talks about the same thing from Luke's angle. And Luke says this, that Jesus spoke and said, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, watch, number one, receive the word with joy. Have you ever seen somebody come to church or go to the crusade or you witness to them and they go, oh my gosh, and this is fantastic, and they're very excited. We've all seen this. They're all pumped about Jesus. It's incredible. Watch. And because, number two, they have no root, the third thing happens, or the third issue is this, who believe for a while, and in time, temptation, they fall away. This is profound. Watch this. They never allowed themselves or never had the opportunity to go through a trial or difficulty. Christians, listen. If you're a Christian, God will tailor make you a trial. You say, no. You have to have them. Watch the Bible. You're getting Bible right now. With one verse I read, it gets right into your head. You got it. Boop. But that's not good enough. Not for a Christian. If you want to be a theologian and that's all you do is write books and talk and you don't live it and you get your check and then you go home, you can do that. You can have Bible. But if you're for real, God will take the Bible that just hit your head and went inside your brain, through your ears, it's rolling around in there. God will grab you by the shoulders and shake you a little bit. You don't know, I don't want to do that. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because when he shakes you, could be a health issue, it could be a person issue, could be whatever issue. It could be an internal spiritual issue. It could even be the issue of, I want more of you, God. Now look, we all pray that. I pray that all the time. I always pray it because of my lack of faith. I pray it. I mean, that is faith, to pray it. But my lack of faith, I cringe when I pray it. I go like this. God, I want to be as close to you as possible. Please be gentle. Do you know what I'm saying? God, I want everything you want for my life. Just remember mercy as you do it. It's kind of like a tree. When you go to prune, your trees are your rose bushes. Can you imagine? You're walking out there with the clippers and the rose is going, no! Can you imagine getting all cut up? And yet the rose, I mean, if the rose knew anything, the rose would know, man, springtime, I'm going to look better than anybody else. God takes the word of God in the life of a Christian, sends a trial and knocks it from the head and it falls down when he shakes you into your heart. That's how you become a growing believer. This person hears the gospel. Wow, awesome. Woo! Awesome. Hey, and most often this person acts like this. We've all seen them. And I'm not saying if you're acting like what I'm going to say in a moment, that you are condemned to hell forever. I am saying you better be careful. You better be careful. And you need to embrace God's work in your life. Here's what happens. After about 2 weeks of being a Christian, they're preachers. And they want to take Billy Graham's place. And they have visions of a church and they're going to be pastoring it in about a month. And they're going around witnessing to everything, including cars, dogs, and cats. And they're super zealous, but they have no depth to them. You see? And so somebody either punches them out for being a Christian, or what happens most often is they wind up breaking their foot or getting sick, or somehow something challenges them in their zeal. And they wither up. They just, that star, shooting star glory is gone. And a lot of people who fit this bill in the parable, they are super loud, super excited, super crazy about God, and over time they quit. They're like shooting stars. They're like going to Disneyland. Everybody at Disneyland, you see the fireworks go off. Ooh, ah, wow, oh man. And then it's over. Oh, you want some popcorn? Okay, well, let's go. Right? It's over. That's how they are. Very careful, very serious that we examine our hearts regarding this reception into the heart. We've all seen that. The reception of the word of the seed reveals the condition of the heart. And we want to be very careful about that. And so, in verse 6, it says, but when the sun was up, they were scorched. Wow. Because they had no root. And they withered away. Jesus interprets this in Matthew 13, 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is the one who hears the word and immediately rejoices with it, with joy. Yet he has no root in himself. Notice, Jesus says, inside of him, there's nothing there. But endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Again, in Luke 8, 13, listen, church, Jesus said, these are they who believe for a while. Say, Pastor, oh my goodness, I'm afraid I could lose my salvation. That's not what he said. These are they who believe for a while. There's a big difference from having belief and having faith. They never allowed their belief to take them into faith. Okay? Belief is almost everybody in the world believes in Jesus. What do you mean you believe in Jesus? It's safe to say most of the world, 99% of the world probably believes in God. That's why I challenge you guys to always, when you hear that, ask the person, God who? There are a lot of gods out there. Which one? Okay? God who? I'm a Christian. What kind? Baskin Robbins has 31 flavors. I'm sure Satan's got a million. I'm those kind of Christians that don't read the Bible. That's the kind of Christian. I belong to the kind of Christian club that doesn't worship, doesn't read the Bible, doesn't obey God. We're free. There's no such thing.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Parable of the Sower, a look at one of those hard truths that Jesus himself communicated using a very simple real-life analogy. We'll continue with more of The Parable of the Sower on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, a reminder that the entire series of television programs, Real Marriage, are yours on DVD for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Recently, we brought you a handful of interviews that we took from our Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program on the topic of marriage. I got to sit down with Pastor Jack and his lovely wife, Lisa, to engage in some pretty frank discussions on the subject of marriage and all that's involved. Actually, there are a total of 13 of these programs, including three that are Q&A sessions. They were kind of cool. And all those are all yours in a 3-DVD set for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. Call, click, or write, just ask for it by name, The Real Marriage Series on DVD. Whether you're married, not married, thinking about getting married, this series is a good one for everyone. Real Marriage on DVD. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or if you'd like, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And, of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.